Hello, this is Charlie and Zach from Zachnology Tech Reviews. Today we have the top 10 video conferencing apps and we'll review them all. We have Zoom, Cisco WebEx, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, FaceTime, Google Duo, Google Hangouts, Skype, Discord, and my personal favorite, Jitsi.org. We'll have a lot coming up in Zachnology Tech Review. So first up in the Zachnology Tech Review, we'll be featuring Zoom, which has been a very popular app in the past few months during the COVID-19 pandemic. And this was actually the first time Zoom was profitable. Zoom was actually founded back in 2011 by Cisco WebEx engineers, which we'll review next. Now we have Zach Bouchard here, our technology expert, to tell us more about Zoom.
Hello, I'm Zach, and I'll be telling you guys all about Zoom. So, you know, Zoom has been very popular recently, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, and many people use it for video calling or large conferences, but it does have its limits. So many people have noticed that it does have a 40-minute limit on the free plan. So if you hit the 40 minutes, it will immediately end your meeting, unless you upgrade to a premium plan. And sometimes it will remove the 40-minute limit as like a free gift, but it does have the 40-minute limit. And then it also has a limit of 100 participants. And this doesn't...
Hey, Zach, can I start quickly?
Yeah.
So do you know anything about the 40-minute limit? There has been some controversy over that. Seems like some
appears it has been removed for some people. The 40-minute limit has been removed for some people, and it's very strange because we don't know why it's been removed. In fact, some of my Zoom calls, the 40-minute limit has been removed for no apparent reason, and then sometimes it'll say they removed it as like a free gift.
I've noticed this thing. Yeah. Also, I do have some information here about the premium plans.
About
$14.99 or $19.99 a month, and that gives you all the features such as up to 500 participants or even 1,000 participants, unlimited storage, and obviously the no 40-minute limit, which is probably the most obvious setback of Zoom.
Yeah, so you heard about the 500 participants. And on the free plan, we have a limit of 100 participants, although this is not an issue for many people because usually Zoom is not used for calls over 100 participants unless it is something like a webinar or a huge conference call.
And speaking of that, you can actually buy what's called a Zoom room for $49 a month. And that is a sort of your own personal Zoom network, or for a corporation, you could have multiple meetings going at once. And that basically is more of a company plan. The $19.99 plan is more of a personal plan.
Yes. So that's Zoom.
So I think
Charlie, anything else we need to cover on Zoom?
I don't think so. Well, we could mention, it's a pretty standard interface. I guess the interface
feature.
Nah, it's a little outdated, but I think you'll find that with most of the.
Yeah, the UI seems to be a little outdated, but it does have many features, such as if you are the host, you do have many features for security, so you can lock the meeting, enable waiting room, you can give participants certain privileges, so you can allow them to share their screen and chat with each other, and you can allow them to chat privately with each other, allow them to chat to everyone, or even allow them to chat just to the host, or you can completely turn chat off.
Zoom has some features I've never even thought of, such as virtual backgrounds.
That's a big one. Yes.
It seems like it works almost perfectly considering you don't need a green screen. Then you have features like calling in. And some of these features, at least in my opinion, aren't super necessary, but they are they're pretty neat. So,
yeah, and then there's also, and then you also have
Zoom. Do you have anything to add?
Well, and then you also have the raise hand function, and if you go deep into the Zoom settings, you can find you can actually add more than just the raise hand. Participants, if you say something, participants can react with a in the participants tab where you would usually hit raise hand. They can actually react with like yes, no, go slower, go faster, and then there's even more thumbs down, thumbs up, clap hands, need a break or away. So many reactions available if you go deep into the Zoom settings. And then another feature you might find deep into the Zoom settings, which has been increasingly popular, is the breakout rooms where.
Oh yes, I use that.
Yes,
that's a really cool feature.
Yeah, the host can actually put the participants in their own like mini Zoom calls, so that participants that are in the same room can talk amongst themselves, but not with the other participants that are in other breakout rooms. And then the host can go between room to room, you know, that in the host can talk with the participants in each room. So very cool feature.
Yes. And Zoom has a lot of other features like recording, and then you can actually even change your audio to come. You can change, there's a lot of more advanced settings, such as you can choose which camera your video comes from or which microphone your audio comes from. Although one thing surprising I found is that Zoom does not have closed captioning.
Closed captioning seems to be pretty big on some of the other ones. So
I was very surprised I found out that Zoom didn't have it.
Yep, so that is Zoom. Next up, we have Cisco Webex. Charlie, tell us a little bit about Cisco Webex, please.
All right, so Webex is very similar to Zoom, although it's a little less, you know, modern, at least the desktop version. You can tell it is probably a little outdated, but it has a ton of amazing features. You can take polls during the thing. You can have whiteboards. There's a ton of really cool interactive features that I think really bring Webex, you know, it takes Webex even a step above Zoom, in my opinion. What do you think about Webex, Zach?
I love the features Webex has. You know, it has like you mentioned, the polls. I believe there is a way to add closed captioning. I haven't done that yet. There might be a way, I'm not sure. But it has your screen sharing, and in my opinion, I've used Webex for some calls, and in my opinion, the desktop UI actually does seem to be a little bit more updated than Zoom's. Zoom seems a little bit more outdated when it's compared to the desktop UI for Webex.
I'm sorry, I may have been a little confusing. I think I have an older version, because what I'm looking at online, it looks a lot more modern.
Oh, okay.
I think I do have an older
version. Okay, yeah, I have the latest version, so yeah, I love the UI for Zoom or for Webex, and Webex also does have the feature where it allows you to dial in.
And I think it's a little bit more pronounced.
It doesn't
in Webex, Zoom, it's not as obvious.
It doesn't have
in
Zoom. One of the things we've noticed about Webex is that one of the really cool features of Zoom is that it has the waiting room, where the host can enable the waiting room, and it's actually on Zoom 5. It's enabled by default, but the host uses the waiting room so that when participants want to enter the meeting, they're put in the waiting room, and the host can let them
in. The waiting room is actually a very important feature.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a very good security feature.
For what Webex is, I'm honestly very disappointed that they don't have that.
That's one of the interesting things about Webex, actually, is the waiting room feature, because on Webex, it's interesting because both Zoom and Webex have what's called personal meeting rooms, where it's you almost get your it's one Zoom link, one Zoom meeting ID or Zoom slash WebEx, because both Zoom and WebEx have it. But it's one link for your personal meeting room. And so that if you want to meet with someone in your personal meeting room, it's the same link every time. And sometimes they'll even notify you by email if someone joins your personal meeting room, and then you can join it too, and then you can have a conversation there. So one of the things we found on WebEx is that it only has waiting room for personal meeting rooms. So if you want to enable waiting room on WebEx, you have to start a personal meeting room and then lock the meeting. And if someone tries to join, it will notify you and you can allow them in. However, if you are using a scheduled meeting or a link that is not your personal meeting room, if you lock the meeting, it will not even notify you if someone attempts to join. It will just not let them in. So that's one of the things we noticed about that.
So I think we've actually forgotten to bring up one of the most important points. Well, in a way that Zoom, WebEx is very, very similar to Zoom. So it also only lets up to 100 participants in the meeting. But
Cisco WebEx,
a little advanced, it gives you the extra 10 minutes. So you get 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think WebEx is as lenient with it as sometimes you randomly get.
Yeah, WebEx, I'm pretty sure WebEx will cut off your meeting at 15 minutes. I'm not sure. I've never really reached 50 minutes on WebEx, so I'm not exactly sure.
Similar
to Zoom, it has the 100 participants limit as well.
I've used Zoom dozens of times, probably over 40 minutes, and it's only happened a fair share of times when it's cut out. So they're very lenient with that. So looking at the pricing and plans for WebEx.
Yeah, so that's on your free plan.
From $13.50 a month to $26.95 a month. So we're just going from a little cheaper to a little more expensive than the Zoom plans. Although, Zoom plans, most plans are very fairly similar, just depending on if you're a business or education. These are really, like, for example, the starter plan isn't really that better. It still only lets you bring 100 participants into the meeting, which is one of the main reasons to get a bigger plan in the first place.
Yeah.
So personally, I think if you're going to make the investment of a monthly plan, then, I think Zoom would probably
Zoom
be the better
option. Yeah, Zoom is
where
your money will go. Yeah. And also security. I think just overall, Zoom tends to have better security. Connections are encrypted, and although there have been Zoom bombers.
I have heard about that.
Zoom is usually encrypted with AES 256 GCM. So, as long as you enable waiting room, and after you're sure all participants who would like to join are in the meeting, you could probably lock it, and so that will ensure you don't have any Zoom bombers.
Yeah, to be honest, I think one of the most important reasons why you hear things about, Zoom bombers is because you don't really hear that much about WebEx. I mean, Zoom I feel like Zoom's more of like an innovative thing. Cisco WebEx, I mean, I think the name alone kind of tells you. It's not a new program. And I feel like, a lot more people use Zoom. So you don't hear as much about WebEx.
And that's why WebEx might be. And that's why WebEx, it almost provides a little bit of security for WebEx, because not many people have heard about it, so people aren't going to think to, WebEx bomb, if that's even a thing, Zoom's much more popular, and people have kind of figured out how to get into Zoom meetings, but WebEx not so much.
Right. So I think that's pretty much it for Zoom, but just looking a little bit more at the features.
WebEx,
You call in for audio is actually listed underneath one of the premium features, but I do believe that is.
It is on the free plan too. It is on the free plan.
To be honest, the fact that they're listing free features underneath the starter, makes a point.
Yeah.
So once again, I have the older version of WebEx. I think I like WebEx better. But if you are going to consider making that investment, upgrading to premium, I say Zoom is the way to go. Anything else to add, Zach?
Well, also, I just wanted to go over quality, because I think we forgot that on Zoom. The video and audio quality on Zoom is very good. It can start to lag a little bit if once you get into the higher number of participants. And again, it all depends on your how your internet is. So if you have a lot of people, if you're using apps on your computer in addition to Zoom that will use internet, well, then it's going to start to lag. If there are other people on Zoom calls or streaming videos or movies or anything like that that are also on your on the same network, then it might start to lag. And then also CPU usage, if you have a lot of apps running on your computer, and if you have a lot of apps that are especially using a lot of CPU, then Zoom may start to lag, especially when you get into the higher number of participants. Same probably goes for WebEx. But Zoom tends to have very good audio and video quality. WebEx does fall a little bit short. It can lag a little bit even when you don't have many participants. So for audio and video quality, I think Zoom beats WebEx.
I agree with that. And just one thing I want to touch on a little bit more before we move on to our next and very controversial platform. You know, besides, I think, the poll feature, I think that's really the only feature that Zoom doesn't have. You know, this has the same things. You can lock, you can call in, you can annotate, you can screen share.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nothing that special. With something like this, you know, that's what you'd expect.
Yeah, and another feature I think WebEx has, it's multimedia presenter or something like that, where it allows it allows someone to share a YouTube video with the participants, even though it's not really screen sharing. It's a little bit interesting.
You can also show a presentation like a .pptx PowerPoint, and you can click between slides in the app compared to Zoom where you'd be screen sharing.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of an upgrade right there.
This gives you more flexibility.
Yeah. And then there was another thing I wanted to mention really quick. I can't remember what it was. Oh yeah. So another thing about WebEx is it's a little bit harder to control participant permissions. So, you know, in Zoom you obviously have They added the security button at the bottom bar, and it's really easy because you can just hit lock a meeting, enable waiting room, and then you have the participant permission, so you can allow them to share screen, chat, and rename themselves. And it's really easy because it's all in one panel, whereas on WebEx it's a little bit more spread out, and sometimes it can be difficult to find what you want to do. Like if you want to disable participant screen sharing, it can be a little bit more difficult to do that because you have to find the right panel and all that. So that's one of the other things I wanted to mention about WebEx.
I think that's pretty much it for WebEx.
Yeah.
All right, so next up we have Google Meet, which prior to the pandemic was only a premium feature for G Suite users. G Suite or Google Suite is basically a suite of products that is for mainly businesses. And one of those previously premium features was Google Meet, which is a video conferencing app. And to be frankly honest with you, Zach will dive into what it is in a minute. But when it became free during the pandemic, I was disappointed. Look, I'm not saying it was awful, but considering it's a premium product, I'm not sure it met my standards. So, Zach, why don't you tell us a little more about the app?
Yeah, so, you know, as you mentioned, Google Meet, premium feature on G Suite. And so we all heard, Google Meet is now free. Google Meet is free for, you know, just regular Google account users. And so I think we were all pretty excited. And then we try it out, and as it turns out, Google Meet doesn't seem as good as we thought it would be.
Yeah, so it does have a couple of cool features, but let me just dive a little deeper into this. I'm looking at the plans and pricing. So from now on, it'll always be free. And the meeting
right now
the meeting length is 24 hours, but after September 30th, it'll be 1 hour. 100 meeting participants is the maximum. And then you can buy plans, which are from $10 to $20 per user, And that gives you features such as being able to call into the meeting, live streaming with the domain, or intelligent noise canceling, things like that. But in my opinion, and Zach, you can tell us yours, $10 or $20 per user seems ridiculous. For Zoom, it's 15 to 20 for the host, not per user.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So, yeah, that pricing is for the G Suite, the whole G Suite for Business. So you get you're paying that amount for the whole G Suite. So that includes Gmail with your custom domain. So that's like professional email, Google Docs, extended storage on Google Drive. But then it also includes the Google Meet.
I still don't think it's worth it. You're not getting really any extra features.
Exactly.
I mean, most of these features are already free.
And
there's up to free providers. In my opinion, even if it's for the whole plan, which I don't see on here, but I believe you.
I totally don't think it's worth it to buy it. And quite honestly, I don't even think it's worth it to use the free plan. Because
the interface of Google Meet, it's a really cool interface, but it's so glitchy. It's always glitching out. Everyone's blurry. The quality is really bad.
Yeah, video and audio quality on Google Meet.
The web version is really, really bad.
Yeah, video and audio quality on Google Meet is not very good. One of the other things is Google Meet does not have a app for Windows like Zoom and WebEx. They both have apps you download. And when you're screen sharing, it will show other participants' videos in like a little box in the corner. So if you're screen sharing a PowerPoint, you're presenting, you can see the other participants' videos in the corner, even though they can't see that box. It's almost invisible to them. And that's a feature that's only available if you have an app, and Google Meet does not have an app for Windows users. So if you want to screen share, you're going to be screen sharing from the web version, it's glitchy. And if you want to see if you're screen sharing, you want to see other participants' videos, you're going to have to switch back to the tab in Chrome or Edge or whatever web browser you're using. And then you'll almost have to stop your presentation to look at other participants' videos. And
yeah, well, that's mainly because it's not an app.
Yeah.
And one other thing I want to add, the closed captioning is one feature that I think Google did really well with. WebEx, doesn't have it. Zoom, I believe, has it. It's not easily accessible, so I've never tried it. But I think that Google uses the same technology is Google Assistant, which works really well.
Yes, I believe it does. Yeah.
So
closed captioning.
But my favorite feature has to be the closed captioning.
Yeah, closed captioning on Google Meet's really good. Another cool feature is it integrates with Google Calendar, so you can schedule meetings directly from your Google Calendar.
Then
if you want to invite other participants, you just add them. You click Add Meeting in your Google Calendar. And then you send the invites to the guests, and then in the email they receive, it will actually put a special button in there that says join meeting. And so then they just click in and takes them right to the Google Meet. It will also provide join info if they just want to type in the meeting ID in Google.
One other feature I forgot to mention that's really cool is from Google Slides, you can share directly from Google Slides to the Google Meet. You don't have to screen share. There's a feature under the presentation feature in Google Slides, and I think that was really cool.
Yeah, so that almost makes up for, if you're screen sharing a PowerPoint, then because the screen sharing in Google Meet, first of all, you can't see other participants' videos. Second, because you're screen sharing from the web browser, the audio quality is not very good, and it's very laggy. So it definitely does not compare to the screen sharing on Zoom or WebEx. But I'm hoping Google will develop a desktop app that users can log into the meeting on the desktop app so that if they want to screen share, the interface will be much better. Audio will be clearer. It won't be as glitchy, and they will be able to see other participants' user or the other user videos while they're screen sharing.
Right. So overall, look, the interface looks good. It has a couple good features, but overall, I was very disappointed.
I was
considering
too.
It's premium. If it was free, I'd say okay, this is all right. But considering you have to pay for it and it's pretty expensive, I don't think it's worth it. But right now, since it's free, if you want something that's a little easier to set up than Zoom or WebEx, you could try out Meet. But personally, I would rather – I recommend going with Zoom or WebEx. What about you?
I definitely would. Yeah, I think I think it's just easy to set up on Google Meet. As long as you have a Gmail account, you don't need to set up any other special accounts. As long as you have a Gmail account or just a Google account will work too. As long as you have one of those, you can set it up directly from your account. So very, very easy to set up, but otherwise features definitely did not meet my expectations.
Yeah. So like we said, overall, I have to place this lower down on the, you know, ranks of the best video calling apps. I think that wraps up for Google.
Yep. All right, guys. All right. Next up, we will be doing Microsoft Teams. Stay tuned.
This episode of the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast is brought to you by 1730-12 News. And of course, Today Now. Make sure to tune in every morning for America's number one morning news show. Back to Zach for Microsoft Teams.
Okay, we're back. So next we'll be going over Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is a, it's part of the whole Office 365 suite, much like Google Meet is part of the G Suite. So Microsoft Teams, many businesses and corporations that have Office 365 will use Microsoft Teams, but recently they have added a free plan to Microsoft Teams. So smaller businesses or even individuals who want to use Microsoft Teams but not pay anything for it now can do so with the Microsoft Teams free plan. So it allows for 250 people per meeting, and if you set up a chat and use the video / audio call from the chat instead of a meeting from a team, if you just do a chat and do a call from there, and then it's limited to 20 people. We do not know of any time limit on the Microsoft Teams meetings. Obviously, it's probably not going to let you do a 24-hour meeting. Charlie,
do you
know of a time limit?
Yeah, so I do have the plans and pricing. So this is obviously the free version, which I think might be free forever. That basically, you know, to be honest, the only two things that you can't get with a free plan is administration and support. So someone administrating the, you know, the meeting, no, or the, not the meeting, but, you know, the account and support. And by the account, I mean like a company's account. Those are the only two things you don't get. Administration of the company's account, multiple emails, you know, and support. And then the other plans have that for $5 to $20 a month. And that's all it adds. And, you know, you do get different levels of administration and support and all that.
Well, and also with the other plans include the whole Office 365 too. So then with that, you obviously get Word Online, Outlook with Exchange, Mailbox. So, you know, you get email, professional email, OneDrive. So you in Microsoft Teams integrates well with the other services. So you can start a Teams meeting from Outlook and have Outlook send all the information to the guest automatically. And if in Outlook, if you go to the calendar and if you have a Teams meeting on your calendar, it will actually add a special button that says join meeting or join meeting online or just join online. If you click that, it will actually take you directly to the Teams meeting. So it's very nice how it integrates well with the other Office 365 services. Microsoft Teams, it's very nice because it also allows you to use the web UI, and it also has a desktop app. They look very similar to each other, but you know, it's really nice to have the Microsoft Teams desktop app too, though, because you get notifications.
Personally have never used Microsoft Teams, but looking at, I've done some research. It looks, at least the interface looks really nice. It seems like it has pretty good reviews, but I don't think the premium is necessarily worth it because you're not really getting that much more benefits.
Well, again,
you're
paying for the whole Office 365. It's not just
Teams.
Right,
but we're just talking about video conferencing apps. If you just want to use this for the video conferencing, it's probably not worth paying for, but as long as the free version is available, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's actually Microsoft Teams video, for video and audio quality, it does fall a little bit short of Zoom and WebEx. Video and audio quality of Microsoft Teams is not very great. I mean, it's not terrible.
I've never used this.
Yeah,
I've never used it, but it looks like from what I've looked, it seems like it has pretty good reviews. Is this similar to how Meet works, not really works, but how it is with it? The interface looks good, but it's not necessarily that good quality.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I've used Microsoft Teams many times before, so I have a lot of experience with it. The video audio quality, it's not terrible, but it definitely does. If you want a good video conferencing app with video and audio quality, Zoom is definitely the way.
Especially
to go.
If you want to integrate it with something else.
Yeah, Zoom does allow for integrations with Outlook. It's not as nice as Microsoft Teams. So if you want it to integrate with your Office 365, then Microsoft Teams would be the way to go. And of course, you could also set up a separate Zoom account so you could switch between the two. So another thing I wanted to bring up is features. So during the pandemic, they have actually added more features to Microsoft Teams meetings to try and keep up with Zoom. So they have recently added a function to raise your hand, kind of like what Zoom has. They do not have breakout rooms, but they recently added virtual backgrounds. And
did we talk about that with Zoom? I think we did. Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm surprised that Zoom's the only one that has that.
Yeah.
And also, one other thing, I think we should mention that Teams is more than just video conferencing.
Yes,
it has a lot of other stuff.
It is. You're right. It has.
So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So Teams is really great for schools, corporations, small businesses because especially if you have Office 365 already, like I said. But you can. Basically, the way it works is you can make a team, and a team is like a group. You create like a virtual group, and then you can add people to it. And so you're all part of this, they call it a team, or like I said, a virtual group. And in that team, you can add apps and tabs. So then you can add like a chat to the team. So then all the members of the team can chat within the group. And you can add files. So you have like you have files that are shared amongst everyone. And it has a lot of features. And then of course, one of the features is you can schedule meetings. So you can schedule a meeting within a team. And if you schedule a meeting within a team, it allows for 250 people to be in the meeting at once. That's on the free tier. So 250 people per meeting, and that's if you do a team. But then Microsoft Teams, the name's a little confusing because they call it Teams. Well, but the team is also, you know, the group you create. So if you can do it like a team, but then they also allow you to just do a chat. So that's if you just want to like if you have just like a group of friends that you want to chat with on there. So then. It's very quick and easy. You just make a chat, add people to it, and you can start messaging. And then the chats also have video audio call features. And if you're going to do a video or audio call from the chat, then it will allow for 20 people per meeting. So it does have video conferencing, and the video conferencing doesn't seem to be as good as Zoom, but again, it also has many other features.
Okay, so yeah, so what would you rank this compared to Zoom, WebEx, and Meet, if you had to rank
them? You know, overall, and if you include all the other features, I would almost put it above Zoom. But if you don't plan on using the other features such as texting or, you know,
right,
instant messaging, then I think it falls below Zoom if you are just considering the video conferencing part of it.
Yeah, I'd say with just the video conferencing, it's maybe even falling short of Meet.
I think it might be falling short or at the level of Google Meet. It's just the quality is not good. Features, again, are not. Another thing is, if you want to join a Teams meeting, you have to have a account with your organization, which can be a good thing because it blocks people from outside your network from joining, but it can be a bad thing if you want to have a guest speaker join or something like that. So again, lots of it's got a lot of features, but I still think it falls short of Zoom. It also doesn't have your because Zoom is kind of famous for its gallery view, where it can show many participants' videos at once, and Meet or Teams just doesn't really have that. It can show up to like 6 videos at once. But that's about it. So, yeah. Anything else to add, Charlie?
I don't think so. So that was Microsoft Teams. So Zach, you're more of an expert on that. And next up, we have FaceTime.
Yep.
And I'll be taking that because I think I'm more of an Apple guy. So I probably know a little bit about that.
Yep. Charlie will tell you all about FaceTime. I haven't used FaceTime a ton. So, yep.
All right, so next up we have FaceTime. And FaceTime, I'm going to do pretty brief because I'm sure most people have used FaceTime. FaceTime is, of all these, 100% the simplest app. It's the only app, you know, it comes basic. Every Apple device has FaceTime. You know, it's an Apple app. It has the same interface as the rest of the Apple apps. So it's pretty easy to use. You know, there's just a quick overview. There's a menu. You can select who you want to call. And then there's a in call button, a switch camera button, and a mute button. So it's so simple. There really isn't all that much to talk about. Do you have anything to say about FaceTime, Zach?
Not really. I mean, I don't use FaceTime a ton. I mean, obviously you have to have a Apple ID to set up a call, and the person you're calling does have to have an Apple ID too. So I do know about that. But I don't use FaceTime a ton. I'm not really a big Apple person. So Charlie will be telling you a lot about FaceTime.
Yeah. So, I mean, the quality, you know, the quality is basically, you know, some apps for like, for example, a Meet, they sort of restrict the quality. This is just the, however good your camera quality is really however good you're going to get for FaceTime. It's usually very clear.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are problems, but as long as you have a good signal, it's very clear.
The
newer devices such as the iPhone X and the iPad Pro, I guess iPhone 11, have features where you can make your face look like an animal or something through face recognition. That's kind of cool. I forget about this. The newer devices, you can add filters, you can draw on the screen, type on the screen. Those are only features on newer devices. The older devices only have those 3 basic buttons, but the newer devices you get are going to have extra buttons. And FaceTime isn't really a business tool. It was originally just meant for one person calling another. And I believe just 2 or 3 years ago, they made it so you could do a group FaceTime call. I think the limit is maybe around 10 people. I have to check. Pretty basic app, has some good uses depending on if it's, but mainly personal. And also it integrates really well with, you know, Apple Messages. You can make the call in the Messages app. So basically it integrates very well. It's very basic, easy to use. And overall, I like FaceTime. Pretty good quality, yeah. Do you have anything else about FaceTime, Zach?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I don't use FaceTime a ton. Not a big Apple person, but I have heard FaceTime is quality of it's pretty good. Like you said, as long as the camera you're using has good quality, then your call's going to have good quality. And
yeah, and like I said, there's those extra cool features such as filters ready on the screen, but those are only available on, I think iPhone, maybe iPhone X and newer. And also, there is available for desktop and, like a MacBook, but that's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So there's some other apps like Zoom, WebEx, Meet. These are way different depending if you're on, a phone or a computer. FaceTime looks exactly the same. So it's you can integrate across all Apple devices. And anyways, I think FaceTime is really good if you're just, you're not looking for anything too fancy. You just want to do it, have a quick call with a friend or something.
Yeah, and Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe FaceTime also lets you do up to 32 participants.
32, okay.
Yeah, I looked up 32 participants.
I've only done ones with 10 at the max, and I thought it... But yeah,
if you do like a group FaceTime call, then you can do a 32 participants. So
okay, I'm sorry, I got that number completely wrong. I just assumed it wasn't too high. So anyways, FaceTime, like I said, probably not the best tool for business. There's no features like you can call in or anything like that. You can't, present anything. You can't screen share. It's very basic. Definitely not for business, but yeah. It's good if, it's definitely better than WebEx and maybe Zoom, because WebEx is a little, for example, let's say there's a group, you want to have a social call with 10 people. Something like WebEx is going to be probably too complicated and take too long to send out the code and everything. That's the point. You don't use a code. You just call people based on their contacts, and it rings their phone. That's the biggest thing. It's like a call.
Except it's
like your phone. It's a phone
I
call.
I think the only
a video phone.
I think the only issue
with WebEx.
I think the only issue with FaceTime would be the fact that you have to have an Apple account for it.
That's true, and you can't. There's no way to get it on anything else.
Yeah,
that's kind of the point.
It has to be on an Apple device. So,
but that's kind of the point of it in a certain way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, overall FaceTime's pretty good, nothing too fancy. But and like I said, the biggest difference is that something like Zoom or WebEx or even Meet or Microsoft, most of these is you get a code, you join. This is like I said, basically a video phone call, somewhat similar to Duo. And there's also FaceTime Audio, which is just for people who don't have a phone number, which is basically like calling, but it's called FaceTime Audio. So yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up for FaceTime.
Yep. All right. Next up, we will be doing Google Duo.
All right. So next up on this technology tech review in partnership with 1730/12news/today now, we're going to be doing a double review for both Google Duo and Google Hangouts. So these are two very similar apps. Google Duo is strictly a video or voice call app, and Google Hangouts is a texting and video call app that was very similar to the now discontinued Google Allo. So, Zach, do you want to give us a brief overview of these two apps?
Yes. So Google Duo. I'll start with Google Duo.
All right.
So first and foremost, it allows for a maximum of 12 participants. And Google Duo is kind of made for, I say Duo means two. So it's kind of made for just two participants. But if you make what's called a Google Duo group, where it's you and other people in one group on Duo, you can make a call with a maximum of 12 people. So you can add 11 other people to your Duo group. Like Charlie said, you can do voice and video call in Duo. And then it also lets you send voice messages. Video messages. Sorry. It lets you send video messages. So if you try to call someone and you realize that, they're not active right now or they're not picking up, well, then you can send a video message where you can, similar to what they have in FaceTime, where you can add cool filters and effects where your face is where they add like an emoji over your face. So that's pretty cool. Charlie, did you have something
overall,
to add?
I'd say Duo is I really like Duo. The quality's pretty good.
Yeah, from my experience, the video and audio quality of Duo is outstanding.
It's really, really good. And also, the most important thing, in my opinion, is the interface. I really like the interface. See, we were saying for Meet in Microsoft Teams, the interface was good, the quality wasn't good. Then for Zoom, we were saying the interface was bad, but the quality was good. Duo, while not completely, you can't completely compare it to those two, but it has good quality and it's a really nice, easy-to-use interface, which I personally find very important.
Yeah, Duo has a great UI. Duo has that, and I think the ability to send the voice messages or the video messages, that's only on the mobile app. So they have a mobile app and a web app. So the web app you can obviously get on like a computer or a laptop, and then the mobile app you can get on a tablet or phone. So you can only actually send the video messages in the mobile app, but that's not really a big deal. Considering the mobile app's used more than the web app. It does, when you are in a call, like Charlie said, it's got a great interface. It does not allow for screen sharing. So,
that's okay. This isn't really meant for that.
It's not a conference
call. Also, may I add, while you're talking about the web version is amazing. Compared to most of these, especially Hangouts, have really bad web pages. The UI of Duo, in my opinion, is really good. Based on a desktop, online or the app. I don't think there's a desktop app, though, is there?
There's not an app for desktop, but the web version is actually very good. Considering it's a web version, my experience, the quality is great. And it's got a very clean design. It's very updated. So that's good. Another very cool feature about Duo is if you have Google Homes, where, Google Home, where it's got like the Google Voice Assistant, where you can tell it to do things. You could tell it to like turn on the lights or, tell you about the weather. Well, if you have Google Duo and Google Homes, you can actually connect your Google Duo account to your Google Homes so that if someone calls you on Duo, not only will it ring your phone, but it will actually ring all your Google Homes. And it'll tell you who the call's for and who's calling. And I found that to be an awesome and very helpful feature.
Yeah, I agree. The integration is really nice. Hangouts doesn't have that integration,
does it? Hangouts
does
not have that. So that's a...
Let's get into Hangouts. I have a lot of bad things to say.
Yeah, so if you...
The interface for texting is... I'm sorry, it's just really outdated.
Hangouts, the UI is absolutely... Well, not terrible, but it's not great.
It's terrible. I think it's terrible. Think about it this way. Look, they used to have Allo and Hangouts, both for texting or, chatting, whatever you want to call it. Allo was my favorite texting interface of all time. It was amazing. And Hangouts was my least favorite. Yeah, I don't understand why they went with Hangouts. They haven't updated the interface in probably 10 years. Yeah. Allo had a brand new updated interface, and they got rid of Allo. Yeah. I would have put that on the, really high on this list, but of course it's gone now. Anyways, the video call, the quality is really, really bad. The ringing, the notifications don't work half the time.
Yeah.
How active someone was. That's always messed up. It says they're active and they're not. Look, it's just all these small things that add up to really make this not
exactly
that good of
exactly. Another thing, about Hangouts, like Charlie said, the UI for the web app is terrible. They do offer a Chrome extension, so that has it's a little bit more updated. It's a little bit like cleaner interface, but it still looks outdated. And again, that doesn't really change the fact that obviously the video and audio quality is not good. So that doesn't make a huge difference. They have a mobile app, which is good. And the mobile app is probably the most updated of the three. But again, it still looks outdated and it just doesn't work well.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, what you have to, you would definitely, would you say that the, let's talk more about the video calling. Do you think that Duo has better video calling than Hangout?
Oh, by far. Yes, definitely.
And that's what I don't get. You're using the same camera or whatever. But what I don't understand is how does Hangouts look so blurry? How big it is on the screen is all messed up. The ratio is kind of strange. Yeah. I don't understand. If they're using the same camera, how does this happen?
I don't know. I think the only advantage Hangouts has over Duo is the fact that Hangouts does let you screen share. It does not.
That's true.
It does not share audio, and the quality is terrible. So again, Hangouts is like very far. Very far down on the list because it is just I would not use Hangouts if I had a choice between like Hangouts or Zoom.
Yeah,
again, quality is much much better.
Screen sharing is never super high quality, so I can't completely take that away from Hangouts, but I agree it could definitely be better.
Yeah,
so overall Duo, I feel like Duo and FaceTime and those are in Discord are more of like a social thing compared to Zoom or WebEx, which is more
video conferencing and businesses. Yeah.
And for business. So what I have to say is that Duo, I think, is my favorite when it comes to the more social apps.
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely love Duo. Another thing I just wanted to mention about Hangouts is maximum of 25 participants. Just wanted to bring that up because we did 12 participants in Duo, so it's actually 25 participants in Hangouts, which is good. It's a little bit more, so that's nice. But you know what? It's not going to even be able to handle 25 participants. The quality is already terrible when you have 5 participants. Imagine how it's going to be when you have, when you get into the 20s, it's just not going to work. And so if you have more, I would say if you have more than 10 participants, don't use Hangouts. And even if it's more work to set up a Zoom, do it because the quality is just going to be so much better.
I have to say, I'm a little mad at Google for this. A, for getting rid of Allo. It can't be that hard to take the video quality of Duo and put it into Hangouts. They're clearly not putting any effort into maintaining.
I think personally,
I like Hangouts in better than Allo. It makes more sense. I think they should have taken Allo and just put the Hangouts logo and renamed it Hangouts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just personally am not a fan of Hangouts at all. And next up, we have a app that I have not used in years. You know, maybe in 2005 it was popular, and I didn't even know it was still around, but it is, and that is Skype. That'll be next.
All right, and welcome back. So now we are going to be doing Skype. We'll tell you all about Skype. Skype has actually been around for a very long time. Charlie, can you provide some more info on that?
So Skype was actually founded all the way back in 2003. And back then, it was sort of a new concept of video conferencing. And I'd say it hit its peak popularity maybe around 2010. I remember using it around then, it was quite a big deal back then, actually. But then since 2010, it really has fallen with, things like FaceTime and Google Hangouts and Duo. And even things more social like Discord. But Skype is still around. It just, I feel like you don't hear about it as much as you used to.
Yeah, I agree. Nevertheless, if you have the Skype app, the Skype desktop app, or if you have the mobile app, you'll notice that it's actually very updated.
Yeah, I'm
Microsoft,
I'm looking at it on here. It looks very modern, a lot more.
It is.
The UI is looks a lot more updated, especially compared to WebEx.
And considering Skype's not used a ton anymore, you know, I'm surprised they keep updating. Microsoft keeps updating it, but yeah, the app it's got a very nice new design. Very user friendly.
Microsoft owns it. In 2005, eBay acquired Skype, which is a fun fact.
Oh, really? I didn't know
Microsoft bought it in, I believe, 2012.
Okay, fun fact. I did not know that.
Make that 2011, actually.
So, yeah, Skype's got it's actually very updated user interface. It's also, they've got the desktop app, there's a mobile app, and then they also even have a web app for a device where you can't or don't want to download the desktop app. And the web interface looks very similar to the desktop app interface. Some of the features, and part of the reason I feel like Skype's kind of fallen behind is mainly just the video and audio quality, I feel like. Charlie, do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I remember back, 2008, 2009, I would say, yeah. When I used back then, the quality was, you know, unprecedented. Yeah. I don't think it's really changed a lot since then. And you're right, you know, with apps like, especially I think Skype was originally designed to be used with, like, you know, like a webcam that plugged into the computer. Yeah. And obviously, people changed to using, you know, mobile devices, iPads, tablets, phones. I think that when people switched, you know, I think Skype was a little late on switching over to mobile, and that's really what I think people to somewhat turn away.
Yeah, so video and audio quality, I think, is part of the reason that Skype kind of fell behind and never really came back. And I feel like still the video and audio quality of Skype, it's just not very good. I've used Skype before to, like, call with cousins, and it's just the quality of it, it's just not, we have high speed internet, and even with that, the quality, it lags, and sometimes someone will get cut from the meeting, and sometimes it'll just freeze up.
I think the reason people don't use Skype is there's nothing Skype can do that one of the other apps can't do.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, and especially the other apps have better video quality. Like, you know, for example, Zoom or WebEx, mainly Zoom. Zoom and Skype are somewhat similar. Skype might have a little bit better interface, but in the end of the day, you know, I care about that, and I think you do, but like I said, in the end of the day, I don't think most people care that much about that. So they're going to pick Skype, they're going to pick Zoom over Skype, considering the better video quality.
Exactly.
And especially the reliability, because Skype's reliable.
Yeah, now Skype does have a 50 participant limit, so that is more than FaceTime, Duo, and Hangouts.
The thing is, to be like those. Skype is meant to compete with Zoom and WebEx, so you can't compete with that.
Yeah, I don't think Skype's really, because Skype does have another another version. It's called Skype for Business, and I do think they have put more work, and like they've updated the software, well, not the software, but they've I think that the Skype for Business video and audio quality is definitely better.
Yeah,
so that's made for like corporate and companies. I feel like Skype has now become more of a social video calling app.
It was originally meant, you know, like I keep saying, Zoom and WebEx are more meant for business, and that was what Skype originally is. And then, you know, it doesn't have tools like Zoom and WebEx have all these additional tools. So Skype is, you know, the interface looks like it's meant for business, but it doesn't have the features. So people who are looking for a social platform aren't going to use this because the interface, and people who have a business aren't going to use this because of the video quality isn't good and because it doesn't have the features that Zoom and WebEx have.
And I think the only people who still use it are using it for just social. I think that's about it. Because if you want to use Skype for a corporate, you most people are going to look at it and say, oh, first of all, this is really old, and the video audio quality is terrible. Second, they've also got another edition, Skype for Business. Let's get that. So I think that's part of the reason why Skype has fallen behind. It's just because people just don't show interest in Skype anymore, and I think it's mainly because of the audio and video quality.
Yeah, may I add, I have some information. So, each person is limited to 100 hours per month of video, and the limit is 10 hours per day, and a limit of 4 hours per video call. So it's really, they say the limit's 10 hours per day, but you can only meet that limit 10 days a month. I feel like it's a little misleading.
Yeah.
Anyways, the for business, 100 hours a month isn't going to cut it. I mean,
exactly.
Look,
yeah.
They 10 hours a day, and you're like, oh, that's plenty. But that's only 10 days. People that means they need 3 hours a day. Some people are on Skype for, hours and hours a day.
So exactly.
I mean, maybe Skype for business, but the original Skype definitely.
Yeah. And then it's also got that 50 participant limit. And so that's only 50% of what Google Meet, Cisco WebEx, and Zoom has. And Microsoft Teams has a whopping 250 participant limit, which is the most on our entire list. So if you're looking for an app where you can meet with a ton of people, probably Microsoft Teams. So yeah, I feel like that's where Skype falls behind. But some of the nice features, it does have some nice features. So they've added texting and messaging. So you can message with someone else who has like a Skype account, which is a pretty nice feature they've added. That's something that Zoom and WebEx don't have. When you're in a call, you do have the option to blur your background to make it look a little more professional. It does not have virtual backgrounds, but you can blur your background. It's also
virtual backgrounds. I have a little update. We did a little research, or I did at least. So I think Zoom and WebEx actually does have a virtual background. I think it's only in the newest version though. WebEx's virtual background, I just want to say, is really bad. So if for some reason you really want virtual backgrounds, I'd go with Zoom. I just thought I'd mention that. So you said Skype does not have virtual backgrounds, Zach?
Skype does not have virtual backgrounds. It you can blur your background, like I said, to make it look a little bit nicer, but it does not have virtual backgrounds. But some of the other cool features it does have, it's very easy to set up a meeting in Skype, because if you have a Skype account, you just go into the app, you click start a meeting, and you can invite other people who have Skype accounts. Or if you want to call with someone who doesn't have a Skype account, you can actually send them a link. They can join the meeting without signing in or creating an account or anything like that, which is actually very nice. And if you go to the Skype website, you can even host a meeting without having a Skype account. So you could host a meeting no account needed.
Can I say that this whole the no host thing will definitely come back with Jitsi.org, which we know.
Oh, yes.
Just a little preview.
Yeah.
If for some reason you need to use a video conferencing app before the end of this video, I do not recommend Jitsi.org. Also, Zach, I don't have anything else to add for Skype. Do you?
Not really. It's just, in the call, it has, again, one of the things that makes it more social is it doesn't have one of those business or corporate feels to it. It's a really social app. So like when you're in a call, you can do like fun reactions. So you could do like a smiley face.
Although
covers the whole screen.
People don't know that. When I thought of Skype before research for the podcast, I was thinking, I think that also, people remembering the Skype from 2000, 7, and then they're thinking they don't consider it.
Yeah, and this is only because I use Skype recently. I think that's the only reason I really know all this stuff. But even still, I think I'm going to switch over to Zoom or something for the Skype calls that I've been doing.
All right.
Just
because
seems so much more reliable.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Discord, which is going to be a very interesting
one. So
cut.
Keep listening. All right, and now we're moving on to Discord. So, a lot of people have heard of Discord, seems like, but it's not really popular for video calling.
Yeah, so, video calling is definitely one of the, a lot of people who use Discord don't even realize there is video calling.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Give some background of what else is on Discord.
Well, you know, Discord is more of a chatting and messaging app, so...
Right, but based off of a server. So someone creates a server, and then they can make different chats under that server, as well as a video chat in that server. And that's basically what we're talking about, the video chatting part.
Yeah, so I think one of the nice things about Discord is mainly used for, kind of like Charlie said, chatting. So a lot of people didn't actually know that video and voice chat actually exists.
Yeah, the video
Discord
and voice chat are actually really hidden within the app.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even really aware of them until recently.
Yeah, so someone can create a server in Discord, and then within that server you create the chats, and so then you could create a video chat. And basically you don't have to schedule a meeting with that. People can just enter the video chat.
Ring you either. You kind of have to find it, which is,
with Discord, you can say, hey, we're going to do a meeting now, but you don't really need to schedule a meeting. There's no need to give out links as long as everyone's already in the server. So that's pretty nice. People can just enter the video chat channel and leave as when they want to. And nice thing is the person who the owner of the server can actually set limits. So you can create multiple video chat channels. So you can do one for live streaming. You can do one for discussing this thing. You could do one for discussing something else. So you can create multiple video chat channels within a Discord server. And the nice thing is the owner of the server can restrict access to some of the channels to certain members of the server. So you have to have, you have to be within, this rank in the server to be able to access this video chat. Or you have to have posted in this channel of the server in order to be in order to access the live stream.
Yeah, so one other feature of Discord,
so it's really nice that they let you do that.
In the chat, you basically can code. So you can code it so that you can type certain commands. You can have, for example, you have money.
Yeah, you can do bots.
It's pretty much infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
Know more about the video chatting itself, the interface. And this is very opinionated. I'm not a huge fan of the interface. I know some people like it, but it's kind of confusing because when there's multiple people, there's not really a grid mode that you can use.
Yeah. I gotta agree with that. The interface on Discord for the video calling, it's not great.
There's no, my opinion, and I'm gonna probably say similar with Jitsi, which is coming up next.
Yeah. You're gonna love Jitsi.
Anyways, what I was saying was the video quality is fine. It's similar to FaceTime, where whatever your camera is, that's kind of what you're gonna get. But it's nothing special. It's also kind of mainly for gaming more.
Yeah,
Or I don't even know why I have it. I just kind of wanted to see what it was all about. And in my opinion, there's not really much of a reason to use that when there's something like FaceTime, which is similar and just much easier to use. You don't have to be in a certain server and a certain call. That's pretty much what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, and another thing, I guess, about Discord, they at the time that this was recorded, they have this noise suppression feature. It's in beta right now. It's noise suppression powered by Crisp.
Yes, yes. I'm glad that you mentioned that. That was actually, we mentioned that back in Google Meet. Noise suppression was actually a premium feature. And I don't think Discord has any sort of premium options, right?
They actually do. They do have a premium option. But this noise suppression, they say...
You're right.
Enable crisp noise suppression. Make some noise, like clapping your hands, while speaking. Your friends will hear nothing but your beautiful voice. So that's a pretty cool feature they added. Seems a little random.
Okay,
you know,
breaking news. Called Cord Nitro.
Yeah, Nitro, yeah.
$100 a year.
Yeah, it can get a lot expensive.
All you get is a custom Discord tag. You can use GIFs. And there's basically, and there's higher quality. In my opinion, there's no way that's worth $100 a year.
Yeah.
So basically, it's kind of wrap it up, because I don't think we have much more to say about Discord. If you're gaming or something and you like complicated video calls, then maybe it's for you. But I don't see any reason to use it when you could just use, you know, yeah. FaceTime or Duo or
Discord.
It's so much simpler and not hard to use. Because sometimes when those, you know, people, you can code it, so you have to have, like, a password to join. Considering people can code it, it can be so complicated that it's not worth it.
Yeah, Discord's not going to be your go-to video conferencing app. And then I also wanted to mention the limits. So Discord, usually you can do 10 people with their video on in a video chat. But due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Discord has decided to raise that to a 25. Participant with
when I looked on the Discord Nitro, which is the premium plan, I didn't see more people being mentioned in the premium plan. It might be there, I just didn't
I think they do allow for more participants in the Nitro.
Wasn't listed on their website. Their website was kind of hard to get to.
Yeah, and another thing about Discord, when you're in a call, it doesn't have the gallery view similar to Zoom.
Yes, that's what I was saying earlier. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, and if you have to have a Discord account, you have to be part of the server, and you have to have permission to get to that video chat. So it can be a little difficult to join at times.
That's the thing. Like I mentioned, people can code pretty much whatever they want. They can make it impossible to get in. And it's more of... like I said, it's more something for very techie people, I guess.
Yes.
If you're looking for something, and it's not always that reliable. If you're looking for something like Discord, okay, we forgot to mention this. We mentioned this a lot. Discord is 100% not for business.
Yeah.
Even Jitsi might be 1% for business. This is 0% for business. There is no reason to ever use Discord for business.
Yes.
It would be very bad for that.
Yeah. And again,
it's 100% social, but. And even more, you know, specifically, I'd say gaming. It's really only for that. So I know I've said this, but I just want to reiterate, if you're looking for something easy or for business, don't go with Discord.
Yeah, I think the only upside about using Discord is if you do want to do a meeting with people who are in your Discord server and have access to the video channel, then you might want to consider using Discord just because it's so easy to join. There's no need to set up a link or anything.
If it's just no one's edited their server, it's easy to join. But like I said, people can make it hard to join if they start messing with their server, because whoever owns the server has pretty much total control.
Yeah.
Except in video calls, which is something I noticed.
Well, yeah, and you can even limit who can talk in your video calls. You can limit who can have their video on. So it's very advanced stuff. And also when you're in the call, it can be the controls are a little bit confusing.
I'm not a big fan of the interface at all. I'm not saying it's bad. It could be good for some people. It's just not my style.
Yeah. They do.
I think it's mainly, like I said,
they do allow you to screen share, which is pretty nice. It's a nice feature to have, but it's a little laggy.
In case someone's playing a game.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, I think
there anything else to add?
Well, I was just going to say, I think the even the video and audio quality of Discord, I don't think it's as good as some of the others. It seems like it's a little bit laggy.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up next, we have Jitsi.org.
Oh, yes. Jitsi.org.
That is an interesting
that
one.
That is going to be a fun review.
Brought to you by 3012. All right. Well, Discord was very interesting. And now we're moving on to another video conferencing app that I think was sort of meant to be for business, but it has completely failed in that sense. And that our last review, Jitsi.org, this is just, I'm going to give a little sneak preview in one word, awful. I mean, this is just a terrible, awful website. So a little bit of background. Also, this was, Jitsi.org was also founded back in 2003, similar to Skype. There are a lot of different programs related to Jitsi.org. There is Jitsi Meet, which is the video conferencing server, Jitsi Video Bridge. There's a lot of different ones. And they're very, very repetitive. There's different ones that are for the same thing. But we're talking about just Jitsi.org, the original in video conferencing. So I already said it's awful. And Zach, tell us why it's so awful.
Well,
do you agree that it's awful?
Oh, yes, totally. So one of the things about Jitsi.org is that it's open source. So it's free, but it's also open source. So you can add stuff onto it, and it allows people to modify it a little bit. So
it's
flexibility.
Also, I think you mentioned no host. There's no host. Explain that more.
That's a big part of it. So there's really no host of the Jitsi.org meetings. If you want to start a Jitsi.org meeting, you go to their website, you just hit start meeting, come up with the name for the meeting, and then it'll give you a link. You send the link to whoever else you want to join the meeting. And when they join, everyone is given the same privileges and permissions. So one of the participants can kick the person who started the meeting if they wanted to.
Look, I think originally Jitsi was meant to be business, but that completely failed. And it's awful for social. So, what's the point of it? Like, we've talked about is it business or social. Jitsi doesn't fit either of these categories. In my opinion, this is a disgrace to the video conferencing community.
Yeah, and I mean you got that no host. It doesn't have the same features that Zoom and WebEx do, and even Skype. It even falls below Skype.
Oh yeah,
and that's another thing.
Comparing this to this is actually a little bit similar to Discord. So Discord is similar because whoever's the host of the server sort of runs the call, but everyone else sort of has the same permissions. It's somewhat comparable to Discord, although Discord, the host still does have a little bit more permissions. So this is really not comparable to anything else. And I think this is 100% at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the quality.
Yeah, quality. I was just going to bring that up. Quality, it's one word, awful.
Not only this, on your view, my face was all stretched out and distorted. Seems like
Charlie and I did a Jitsi call
because I didn't believe.
So I start the meeting, and as soon as the second participant Charlie joins in, It immediately freezes up on my end,
and then the whole meeting just
crashes. It was absolutely terrible.
Bottom line, Jitsi.org. I've kind of been waiting the whole time. It's so the reason I keep laughing. It's funny that they think that people like this. I mean, there's no use for it. It's completely pointless unless you're looking for an unreliable app. It has no security. It makes your face look distorted. what else did I forget? Zach, you there?
I'm still here. I think we got about everything.
Yeah, there's nothing good to say. I think we said everything bad. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that ties it up here for the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast for the top 10 reviews for video conferencing apps. And coming up next, we'll have our final rankings of the tech reviews for the video conferencing apps. Well, it has been a great first episode of the Zachnology Tech Reviews podcast in partnership with 1730-12 News and, of course, America's favorite morning news show, Today Now. But like all great things, this podcast must come to an end, and we're going to have what you've all been waiting for, the rankings of the best video calling apps. Under the social category, we'll have two. Under the business category, we'll have two. And then we will have the top 10 overall video calling apps ranked from this podcast. So without further ado, Zach is going to take it away with the social video calling app rankings. Zach?
All right. So we are going to do the social video calling app rankings. So we did the top two. And for this category is mainly for just calling with your friends, informal calls, fun calls, small group calls. So it's not really for business, or it's not really for corporate calls. It's more of just for social and fun calls. So for the top two, in second place we have FaceTime. So the main reason we chose FaceTime was, first of all, because of the audio and video quality. The quality of the calls were very, very good. And as long as you have a good webcam, good microphone, your calls will be very good quality. Another reason we chose FaceTime was because on the newer models of Apple devices, they allow you to add fun stickers and effects and that kind of stuff just to make your call more exciting and fun and more interesting. So we chose it for the quality and the stickers. And then also for the, it's very easy to use. Obviously, you know, if you have an Apple device, it's very easy to set up a meeting. There's no need to share links or anything or enter passwords. All you have to do is call someone or call a group, and they get a notification on their Apple devices, and they can just pick up from there. So it's very easy to use. It's got a pretty good user interface too. The app is user friendly, and then the compatibility. It is compatible on all Apple devices, but only Apple devices. So you can get to it on your
own. Yeah, Zach. I think that's really why we put FaceTime second. Despite that, it's super amazing how well it connects with between Apple devices. The fact that you can only use it for Apple devices. Yes. Obviously a huge setback.
Yeah, so you could use FaceTime on your iPhone, iMac, MacBook, your iPad, but it's only on those Apple devices. You can't get it on Android, Linux, or Windows, or any other operating system or phone. So that is it for FaceTime. So FaceTime was in second place, and for first place, for the social video calling apps category, we have Google Duo. So Google Duo, it's actually very similar to FaceTime. Great video and audio quality. You can send video messages to other people. So if they're not picking up or they're not available, well, then you could just send like a video message similar to voicemail. And you can add fun stickers and effects to your calls, again, similar to FaceTime, just to make the call more fun, more exciting. It's very easy to use. They've got a nice web interface that's very simple, and it's very easy for pretty much anyone to use. And the apps are updated, and it's very, very easy to navigate, and it's very, very great user interface. So I think the reason we put Google Duo above FaceTime in the rankings was the compatibility. So we mentioned that FaceTime is only available on Apple devices. Google Duo, however, is available on not only Apple devices, but also Android devices and Windows devices. So you can put the Google Duo app on any of your iOS phones, tablets, or your or you could get to the web version on your iMac. And then you can also get to the web version on your Windows computer. They've got apps for Android. And then it even can integrate if you have a Google Home or a Google Assistant. If you get a call or if you get a call on your Google Duo account, it will not only ring your devices, but the Google Homes in your house will also ring too. And you can even make calls from those devices as well. So that is the social category, FaceTime in second, Duo in first. Charlie, why don't you talk about the business category then?
All right. Well, first, I just want to say, Zach, excellent point you made there with the compatibility. Obviously, a very close race between Duo and FaceTime. Yes. And that is very similar between our top two in the business category of video conferencing apps. So business category, unlike the social, is mainly for, you know, corporations, businesses, employees who need to communicate, more of conference calls. And these, of course, have more features such as being able to call in, closed captioning, and things like that. So in second place, we have Zoom for our business category. And first of all, we want to say in the business conferencing world, Zoom has the best quality. Zoom's audio is very clear, especially since you can call in if your audio isn't clear. So, you know, with Zoom, there's no excuse not to have good audio. And then Zoom is FaceTime in that if you have a good webcam, you should have good quality. Zoom, I've experienced very great video quality with Zoom. However, Zoom is a little lacking on the features. Zoom doesn't have things like polling. Zoom doesn't have closed captioning, although it does have some nice features such as virtual backgrounds, such as being able to configure your microphone on your camera to connect to external devices. And I found that very helpful to be a helpful feature, that is. And finally, the interface on Zoom. The interface is a little disappointing. I mean, you know, it's the interface when you're on the call itself is very outdated, especially when you're trying to scroll to see if there's more than 9 people, I believe. It starts to act a little bit glitchy. And obviously, that's well below the limit. It just does on that for some reason. Oh, yes, and one more thing, compatibility. Zoom is very compatible. There is a desktop app, which is really easy to download, and I highly recommend getting that. I believe there is an online version, but that doesn't work very well. So I definitely recommend getting that. That's available for, you know, PC, Windows, you know, all of those. And then there is an Android and iOS app. So Zoom is compatible all across the board. And obviously, we saw some very good features, although we did have setbacks in some categories. For the business category, that is. And that's what leads us to WebEx being number one in business. So despite WebEx, the time/participant limits, I'm very sorry about that, for Zoom. So we do have, there's a 40-minute limit. Okay, so that's 40 minutes with the free plan. Although we were discussing how it seems like half the time they just extend your time. And then with WebEx, there is a 50-minute limit.
Charlie, can you hang on? Can you hang on a second? Your audio just went out for a minute. So I'm just going to, just for our listeners, I'm just going to clarify that 40-minute limit is for Zoom. So we're going back to Zoom. We're just clarifying the 40-minute limit. Okay, go ahead, Charlie. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. So... oh, yeah, we do a 40-minute limit for Zoom and then the 50-minute limit for WebEx. And, Zach, I believe it is 100 participants for both?
Yes, it is. 100 participants for both Zoom and WebEx.
So in that category, so basically for the restrictions category for the free plan, well, first of all, we said Zoom has better value. So Zoom has better value. And then the 10 minutes. So basically, if you're going to pay, if you're going to make that investment, we recommend investing in Zoom. And if you're going to use the free plan, we recommend going with WebEx because of the additional 10 minutes and because of the additional features. So despite the quality in WebEx, being at the level of Zoom. It does, WebEx does tend to get a little blurry sometimes and freeze up, although it's not terribly bad. The features is what really stands out about WebEx. Like I said, I keep mentioning these, but these are amazing. The polling, closed captioning. A big one that we haven't mentioned, I don't think, is that you can present in the WebEx. With Zoom, sometimes when you're presenting, you have to screen share, you know, let's say a PowerPoint. But with WebEx, you can actually show the PowerPoint in the WebEx meeting, so you can stay in the WebEx and see the faces, which is obviously a very nice feature. And you can also make presentations, yeah, like that. You could show spreadsheets, you can show whatever you want, PDFs in the app compared to screen sharing, which is a very, very nice feature. And the interface also stands out above Zoom. The newest version of WebEx has a very nice user interface, very modern, clean looking, pretty simple to use. There are a few features that are a little bit difficult to understand, but once you get the hang of how the system in general works, I think everyone will get a good hang of WebEx. So it was a tightly contested race, but WebEx came out over Zoom. So for business, second place Zoom, and first place WebEx. So Zach, that was a very both of those, social and business, I'd say were very close.
Yeah, they were very close. We had a hard time deciding between the two, but like Charlie said, features on WebEx really stood out, and I think we really had to put WebEx above Zoom just because of those features. So
yeah,
now we're moving on to the overall category. So remember, this is where we took all the apps and we ranked them from 1 to 10. So we're going to start at the bottom. So Charlie, do you mind doing number 10?
Well, that's right, Zach. Although for number 10, it wasn't that hard of a decision. For number 10, we chose Jitsi.org for obvious reasons. Terrible quality, no host, bad security, bad quality. And that's pretty much sums it up. Zach, what's ninth?
Moving on to number 9, we were very disappointed because number 9 is Google Hangouts. And it's a Google product. Google's a very big tech company, so we're very disappointed that Google Hangouts came in number 9. But for reasons such as bad quality, bad interface, screen sharing is terrible. So we put Google Hangouts number 9. Moving on to number 8.
All right, in number 8, we have Discord. So we decided to put Discord 8 because we weren't very impressed with the audio or video quality, the interface, because of some of the strange host features. It's not really great for business, and it's not really great for social, so it didn't really fit in. And Zach, what's 7th? I hear it's
number
another
7.
Google product.
Yeah, you thought Google product in number 9 was disappointing. Google product in number 9 and number 7 is extremely disappointing. We have Google Meet in number 7. And this is just because, again, bad video and audio quality, bad screen sharing. It does have a good user interface, but it doesn't have a desktop app. So especially with the fact that it usually costs money, we were just very disappointed with Google Meet. Charlie, moving on to number 7, could you tell us about... number 6.
Number 6,
can you tell us about number 6?
All right. For number 6, we chose Skype. We all know Skype. Not very impressive audio or video quality. It does have an okay interface, and it does have some cool features such as closed captioning and the effects. But still, it didn't really stand out over any of the other services. So for that, we put Skype 6 and Zach, what's 5th?
Fifth is Teams. So Teams falls like right in the middle here. Basically, it has average audio and video quality. It does have some nice features such as chat, raise hand, and it's got like virtual backgrounds. Not as good as Zoom, obviously. So Teams, it's got okay quality, not the greatest, not the worst. So it falls right in the middle. Charlie, number 4?
Oh, yeah. Well, before we get to number 4, I just want to add that's Microsoft Teams, the way, in case forgot. Also, yes, Skype and Teams are very similar in that good interface quality. So it was really just came down to some of the features. All right, for 4, we have FaceTime in 4th place. That's because FaceTime has pretty good audio and video quality, assuming you have a good camera and microphone. The newer devices have some cool features such as those effects. It's very simple, easy to use. It's very compatible within other Apple devices, although a setback is you can only use it within Apple devices. Hey, Zach, what's 3rd? This is another Google product. I mean, third, okay, third is good, but for Google, it's still not that great.
Third, we have Google Duo, and Google Duo, we were happy to see a Google product in the top three, considering there was one in seventh and one in ninth. So Google Duo, we put it in third, mainly for its great video and audio quality, great user interface, easy to use, and compatibility with all sorts of devices. Moving on to number two, Charlie will tell you all about number two.
So for number two, we chose Cisco WebEx. So Cisco WebEx has pretty good audio video quality, although it cannot compare with our first place. There are occasionally some people freeze up. It's a little bit laggy sometimes, although we were a huge fan of the interface on the newest Cisco WebEx. Fairly easy to use. Looks pretty nice and modern. And then, of course, we already mentioned the quality was the quality for Cisco WebEx, we said that's okay. The interface is good, and the features are good, too. So, Zach, without further ado, what is the
number one? I'll bet you can all guess it.
Conferencing apps and technology. Don't interrupt me.
All right, well, number one, you probably already know because we haven't mentioned it yet, but for number one, we have Zoom. And it might be a little confusing because Zoom was in first overall and WebEx was in second, but for the business category, that was actually reversed. However, it changed for overall because we thought Zoom actually is great for both business and just fun calls, whereas WebEx is more aimed towards business, so most of the features in WebEx are great for business. But Zoom seems to have features that are great for both business and fun calls, such as virtual backgrounds, great security, great quality, and it's got great quality. It's got the chat, raise hand function. So Zoom just is great for all sorts of different calls. So Zoom is in first. So I'll just go through the list one more time in case you missed it. Number 10, we have Jitsi.org. Number 9, Google Hangouts. Number 8, Discord. Number 7 is Google Meet. Number 6 is Microsoft Skype. Number 5 is Microsoft Teams. Number 4 is FaceTime. Number 3 is Google Duo. Number 2 is Cisco WebEx. And number 1 is Zoom.
Well, it has been a great first episode of the Zachnology Tech Review podcast in partnership with 1730-12 News and America's favorite number one morning news show Today Now. So once again, we ranked the top 10 video conferencing apps. It was an amazing episode, and stay tuned for the next episode. We have some really cool ideas, so make sure to watch the next episode. Zach, anything to say before we sign off?
Not really, just, you know, like what you said. We hope everyone enjoyed this, and look out for the next episode, because we think you'll like that one, too. All right, until next time, I'm Zach.
And I'm Charlie. We'll see you next time.